Our scripture reading for this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Galatians. I'm going to read chapter 3, verses 19 through 22 for us this morning. Again, I've got this weekly prayer guide I want to draw your attention to that has some things for you to take home with you and think and pray about throughout the rest of the week. Let's listen for God's word to us this morning. Paul says, "Is the law opposed to the promises of God? Most certainly not. For if a law had been given that could make you alive, then righteousness would indeed come from the law. But the scripture then instead has imprisoned all things under the power of sin, so that what was promised through faith in Jesus Christ may be given to those who believe." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray for the one who preaches, for his sins are many? Let us pray. Holy and merciful God, may something of what is said and what is done and what is seen and what is heard of me today, may it not be of me, but of you and your work, the work you would have us do and the work that you have done for us. And grant that we might not be anxious about earthly things, but may come to love things heavenly, so that even now as we are placed among things that are passing away, we might hold fast to those things that shall endure. In your holy name we ask this. Amen. When I was a kid, there were these woods that were back behind my friend's house, and there was a fence that ran along his backyard that separated his yard from the woods, and there were these signs all along the fence that said, "No trespassing, punishable by law." Now, to this day, I don't remember who owned that property or what that property was being used for. We used to imagine it must have been some like secret government base or something. And there was this one time my friends all wanted to just, you know, hop the fence to go see what was on the other side. And here's the thing, I was kind of a chicken. Still am kind of a chicken. I was a rule follower, and so my friends, they were piecing this this plan for us to jump the fence. And I said to them, "Dude, we can't do that. It's against the law." To which one of my best friends replied in a mischievous and joking manner, "Dude, laws wouldn't exist if they couldn't be broken." I've always remembered him saying that. Laws wouldn't exist if they couldn't be broken. My friend's logic, of course, was on the all and all up and up pretty faulty. It was probably a bad idea for us to jump the fence that day. We did anyway. But in a small sense, I guess he was right. When we think about the law, when we think about laws, we think about things that we break or maybe try not to break, or maybe sometimes willfully break, because a law is a thing that gets broken. That's how we think about a law. It's Sunday morning and we're here in church, and what I want to talk about here in church this morning is law, what it is and what it is meant to do for us. We human beings don't get to go around doing whatever we want in life. We have laws. We don't get to go around doing whatever we want in life because there are consequences to the choices that we make in life. People can get hurt because of the things that we say and do. And you yourself can get hurt because of the things that you say and do. There are consequences. And so, the most fundamental building block of a civilization, of a society, of a life together as human beings is coming up with some way of sharing the world together, some set of rules that govern us and keep things fair. Societies would struggle without some kind of law. What a law is, by its most simple and basic definition, is an expectation that has been placed upon you. That's a law. So let's say you're driving down 421 east between Bowie's Creek and Irwin. And you see the Harnett County Sheriff's deputy sitting there on the side of the highway just off the road. You quickly look down at your dashboard and see that you are going 67 miles an hour, which is fine because that's probably just 2 miles an hour of the speed limit, right? Speed limit 65. Nobody's going to pull you over for 2 miles an hour of the speed limit. But wait a second. Isn't it 55 in this little stretch? I'm not sure. And so you start to panic, and so you do that thing where you slam on your brakes as if the sheriff's deputy didn't just see you slam on those brakes. And then you do that thing where you pass by and you look in your rearview mirror and you watch to see if he's going to pull out behind you. Please don't pull out. Please don't pull out. Please don't pull out. Please don't pull out. You know how this works, because the expectation, you understand, is that you're not supposed to drive over a certain speed. That is the law. That's the expectation that's been placed upon you. When most of us think about law, this is the first thing that we think about. We think about policemen pulling out behind us with blue lights in our rearview mirrors. We think about bank robbers and bank robberies and murders. Or maybe we think of things that are a lot more mundane, but still serious expectations that are placed upon us, like paperwork that has to be filed at the courthouse or mandatory waiting periods before you can receive all the proper permits. We think about these expectations, these laws that are given to us by our government. There are also expectations that we get to give back to our government, laws we get to put on our government. We call those rights. In a democracy, we have that kind of law too. This is what most of us think of when we start thinking about the law, but I am going to guess that you did not get up on Sunday morning and come to church here today for me to give you a civics lesson, because I am not a lawyer. Some of you are lawyers and could do that part much better than me. Here at this church, what we are concerned with are things spiritual. And so, what I want to talk about today is the spiritual dimension to law, because there is a spiritual dimension. Here's what you need to know about the spiritual side of law. It is not just the government that gives laws. It's not just the government that expects things of you. Law comes in many forms. Your family has law. Parents and grandparents and those people who raised you, they raised you with expectations to say yes ma'am and yes sir, to eat the correct way with proper manners, to behave a certain way when you are in public, to clean up your room and keep it straight, to do your homework, to work hard, to study, to be kind and polite to others and put on a good face and be successful one day. These are things, these kinds of things are things that are expected of you by your family in a very real way. These are law, law of family. And if you're married, then your spouse, your husband or your wife have things that they expect of you too. It is your responsibility to take out the trash. It's your turn to walk the dog. When you got married, you didn't just promise to love that person. You promised to be honest and loving and faithful in plenty and in want and in joy and in sorrow and in sickness and in health and as long as you both shall live. That is an expectation of you. That is law. Law of marriage. And what about your job? Your job has expectations, like you need to show up on time. Your job has expectations, like you need to get your work done in a timely manner and the proper way. Your job has expectations, like you're supposed to dress professionally. You're supposed to act professionally. That's a kind of law, the law of an office. Or you can think about your friends and all of your social connections that you have with the people around you. When you are hanging around and gathering with other people, there are certain ways that you're supposed to behave, and there are certain topics that you're supposed to avoid, and there are certain jokes that are inappropriate to tell, and there are certain ways that you're supposed to dress, and you're supposed to look, and you're supposed to carry yourself, and there are certain groups and certain clubs that you're supposed to belong to, and certain ways you're supposed to treat the people who don't belong to those clubs and those groups. And what's more, these expectations might change depending on which group of people you are with and which place, under which circumstance. All of those things are expectations that are placed on you. They are law, social laws. There are laws of fashion. I am told you're not supposed to wear white after Labor Day. So I am told. There are laws of competition, both the official kind that says holding is a 10-yard penalty and the unofficial kind that says you shouldn't run the ball on third down and long. There's not a flag on the penalty on the play for running the ball on third down and long, but you might get run out of the stadium by the fans in the stands because that's an expectation, a law that is placed on you. Laws come in many forms. Official forms and unofficial forms, and whether they are official or unofficial, laws are powerful. Expectations are powerful when they are placed on you. And then, of course, there are the laws that you place on yourself, that no one else places on you except yourself, the expectations you have for yourself. Of success or status or knowledge or responsibility or power or money or whatever it may be. The world is full of law. It's everywhere. It governs everything we say and we do. And at first glance, this is a very, very good thing. It is true that this is a good thing because without expectations, we wouldn't have any kind of direction for ourselves at all. Without law, things would be lawless. Lawlessness is bad. Not simply but for society, but for your own personal life as well. If our lives are to have any kind of flourishing, we have to have some kind of sense of what's right and what's wrong and what's good and what's bad and what's best and what's worst and what matters and what absolutely does not. You have to have goals. You have to have expectations. What you got to have is law. You got to have law, or else we're all just floating out there with no sense of purpose and no sense of direction and no sense of meaning at all. And so at first glance, law is always a good thing. But then you turn to the Apostle Paul here today in Galatians, and we find that at a deeper glance, law and its usefulness can actually be a bit deceiving. There is no law that has been given, Paul says, that can make you alive. That's what he says here in this letter to the Galatians. Hear that again. There is no law that's been given that can make you alive. I think law, in whatever form it comes, always brings with it two conundrums. The first conundrum is that the law is not always clear. The expectations that are placed upon us in the world, whether they're by the government or our family or our spouses or our jobs or our friends and our social connections or even by ourselves, are more often than not convoluted. They often contradict one another. And they pull us in opposite directions all at once, and they leave us confused, and they leave us tired. How are you supposed to know what is right? How are you supposed to know what is good? How are you supposed to know what is best? How are you supposed to know what matters when everybody's got a different opinion on it for you? And since you have gotten up and come here to church this morning, perhaps maybe what we should do at this point in the sermon is consider one more kind of law, one more set of explanation or expectations, those which are placed upon us by God. We need to think about those too. If you set aside for a moment what the government expects or what your family expects or what your spouse expects or what your job expects or what the social order expects of you, what you expect of yourself, you set all that aside for a second, let's ask, what does God expect of me? What does God expect of me? Whenever people would ask Jesus this question, Jesus would always give two basic answers right there in succession of one another. He would offer two basic laws. He said the first and most important law is that's ever been made is to love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. There's a second law that is just like it and just as important, and that's love your neighbor as yourself. That's God's law. That's the law Jesus gives. That is the law of love. Love God and love your neighbor. Love. That is what is ultimately expected of you. Love. That is the expectation that is placed above every other expectation in the world. Love. That is the expectation that for you ought to clarify and define and unite all the other duties and obligations and responsibilities that are placed on you in life. Love. That is the rule that defines for us what is right, what is good, what is best, and what matters most. Love. It is love for God and love for others. Jesus was not just a preacher of this kind of law. Jesus was one who embodied this kind of law in everything that he said and everything he did. He was a living, breathing example of this kind of law. Everywhere that he went, Jesus had this way of treating the lives of the people around him as if those lives were his very own. In everything that Jesus said and did, he had this way of regarding people, not by the things they said and did to him or to others, but by the things they were suffering, the things they were struggling with, the things that were making them hurt. He didn't just preach love. He lived love. He showed love. And so that means all we have to do is go out and follow his example of love, follow his law of love by embodying it the same way that he did. And that leads to the second conundrum that law always brings with it, which is that a law, even at its clearest, is a thing that gets broken. The thing about the expectations that are placed upon us in life is that they are utterly impossible to meet. Life is impossible, isn't it? It's impossible. If life is supposed to be lived driving under the speed limit, who among us has never gone a click or two over the speed limit thinking it wouldn't be that big of a deal? Who among us has never managed to disappoint their parents? Who among us who are married hasn't let down their spouse and left them feeling hurt or betrayed at some point in marriage? Who among us hasn't screwed up their job and caused a problem? Who among us hasn't gone out in public and made a fool of ourselves? Who among us hasn't felt like an utter failure because you can't live up to the hopes and the dreams and the standards and the expectations and the law that you place on yourself? See, this is the downside to expectations. Without them, you don't have any direction. Without them, you don't have any direction or purpose in life. But when we fail to meet them, they have this way of eating us alive. They have this way of consuming us with anxiety and with failure and even with rage. And it turns out, you see, it turns out that law is not only a thing that gets broken. It turns out that law is a thing that ultimately can break you. That's what it does. And so since we've gotten up this morning to come to church, let's consider again what God expects of us. God's law, which is love for him and love for our neighbors. This divine law of love is in this way no different from all the other laws and expectations of the world. Who among us has actually managed to live Jesus' example? No one. Who among us hasn't turned in God for some kind of cheap substitute in some point of our life rather than love him? Who hasn't in their lives done harm to their neighbor rather than love them? Jesus' law of love, you see, was so radical, it was so amazing that his example could not possibly ever be lived up to or followed. His law of love is a law that cannot help but get broken, even at our most faithful. In that way, it's the same as all the other expectations the world puts on us. But then here's the place where it starts to get different, where it starts to look different. The law that Jesus offers is different in this way. There has never been a law given that can make you alive, Paul says. But instead, the law has imprisoned all things to sin so that those of us who have faith in Jesus Christ may come to believe and have hope. See, what Paul means here is that the point of the law is not just to direct us. The point of the law from God actually is to break us. The law of God is not just a thing that comes to be broken, it is a thing that comes to break you. That's the whole point of it. The whole point is you can't live up to it. You can't live up to it, which seems like a dismal thing, but it is only when the law breaks you that you start to see how badly you need the other side of Jesus' example. How badly our world needs the other side of Jesus' example, which is not that of an example of what we ought to be doing with our lives, but an example of what God has done for us with His life. You see, it's not just law. It's also gospel. It's grace. See, when Jesus went around and He treated everybody He encountered, He treated their lives as if their lives were His own. He did that because their lives were His own. Because they were not their own. They belonged to Him. And when Jesus went around regarding people, not by the things they said and did to Him or to other people, but instead by the things that they were suffering and struggling with and hurting from, He did that because God, in His very character, doesn't regard us by the things that we say and do to each other or to God, but instead by the things that we suffer and struggle and are hurting from. You see, Jesus lived with this life of such amazing, radical love because God's love for us actually is amazing and radical. And this is the one difference between the expectations of the world and the expectations of God. The law that we live all of our lives by and the law and gospel of God. When the world places expectations on you, when you place expectations on yourself, your very sense of value and worth and dignity as a human being starts to be defined by whether or not you are meeting those expectations. But when God places expectations on you, they have nothing to do with your sense of value and worth and dignity as a human being, because your value and your worth and your dignity as a human being is not defined by whether you meet God's expectations, but defined only by the fact that Jesus came and met them for you. In your place. And if this is the case, law actually starts to become something different. It becomes something heavenly, something that endures. It becomes something greater than what it was before. It becomes a glorious response. Not just a way of giving your life direction, it becomes the way you say thank you to God. Jesus says, "In this I give you a new commandment. You love one another as I have already loved you." So friends, a prayer for us today is that we might go forth and absolutely do our best not to break the law. But when you do, don't be afraid to let the law break you and find grace. Because it is with grace that you may cling to things heavenly and not be anxious about things earthly, so that while we are here among things that are passing away, we might hold fast to those things that shall endure. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask this. Amen.